Tuesday morning, what is up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. Welcome aboard. A busy show today. Lots going on. Lots will be going on. We're now less than 12 hours away from tip-off in beautiful, scenic Olean, New York. St. Bonaventure's taking on VCU tonight. I always say it with an extra S. Just St. Bonaventure. It's not St. Bonaventure's. The Saint's not around. He's long dead. But the team is alive, and the Bonnies will be taking on VCU tonight, 7 o'clock up there in Olean. Little revenge game for the Rams. You'll hear it right here, of course, on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. VCU installed this morning as 4-point underdogs, which I certainly understand. This is a team that struggled to control the Bonnies in the first outing. Bonnies were making three-pointers when they wanted to. Chad Venning inside was obviously dominant. They'll need to find an answer for him. They struggled against Davidson in the interior. It's not an area of their game they've been able to shore up. On the other hand, I think reason to believe, and this is a better VCU outfit than the one that played that game, even though the roster's maybe arguably a little more banged up. Zeb Jackson played against Davidson, presumably will go tonight. So everybody available. But it feels like they've found their flow a little more. Feels like they've hit their groove. And I think this is an important one if they want to be the team they see themselves as being, which is a double bye team in Brooklyn, a team that can hang with with Dayton. You lost badly to these guys at the Siegel Center. Tonight's the night to avenge that loss. We'll see how Coach Ryan Odom and crew do. On a weird travel schedule, they played Saturday night in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Davidson, and they just never came home. They went straight from Charlotte up to rural New York, Olean, New York, where they've been hanging out, practicing, getting ready for tonight's game. We'll see. I thought they looked good against Davidson. The three-point shooting is going to make or break these guys every time they come on the floor. You've seen the stats. This is the number one three-point efficiency team in the Atlantic 10. That doesn't guarantee you're going to make them when you shoot them. And when you live by the three, you also die by the three. What I love, though, is that defense has come to play in key moments recently. And that defense is absolutely going to be counted on to carry them tonight as they take on St. Bonaventure, Bonnies, and the Rams, 7 o'clock. Big game last night, finally had a loser. Been a while since we've had a loser around here. Our teams had just been winning nonstop, but the Hokies were unable to corral Duke. 77-67, the final from the castle. The Blue Devils are the winners over Virginia Tech, and Duke is rounding into form. That looks like a good team. I mentioned VCU's defense as being kind of what kickstarted their recent resurgence. I think you have to tip your hat to Duke's defense, what they were able to do to Virginia Tech shooters, what they were able to do to Sean Padula last night, keeping them in check from the outside. That's been so important this year in college basketball. The teams that can lock down defensively can withstand those stretches where the offense isn't clicking as well as it normally does. So for Virginia Tech, big games ahead, but it feels like a lost opportunity as they chase an NCAA tournament berth. Still within range, but it gets harder when you don't pick up that big home victory against a quality team. Only so many of those opportunities to spread around. So that's the college basketball scene this morning. We'll look forward to that Rams game tonight. You'll hear that right here on 910 The Fan. Busy day today. The Senior Bowl is underway in Mobile, Alabama. That's where the top college football players go to audition for the NFL. The coaches are down there. The scouts are down there. Well, the Commanders coach isn't down there because they don't have a coach. We'll get into the latest on the Commanders coach search in the next segment. But Adam Peters, the general manager, he'll make an appearance down there. The team scouts. Obviously, all the attention will be on what will the Commanders do with the number two overall pick. The excitement's going to build as we get closer to April, as these guys make the rounds. This is just the first stop. The Senior Bowl this week, Combine coming up in February, and then they'll make visits to the individual teams. What do you want the Commanders to do at number two? Are you starting to turn your attention to it? What do you think about that? I'm excited to see which way they go. We are tentatively slated to talk to Ben Standig, our friend from The Athletic, at 11 o'clock today. That, of course, pending whatever he's up to down in Mobile, Alabama. That's a heck of a city pair to name check in an opening segment. Olean, New York, and Mobile, Alabama. I venture to say the first time that city pair has been name checked in one sports radio segment in Richmond, Virginia. Going out on a limb for that one. I think it's a new record. But Jim Nagy, he is the head of the Senior Bowl, opened it up this morning. He said he thinks this is the worst draft he's ever seen in rounds 5 through 7, the last rounds of the draft. And he chalks that up to more and more kids staying in school to get NIL money. Because now you can get paid to play college football. It used to be, and you guys remember some of the Redskins players of the year, right? Bashaud Breeland was a late-round find. He came out of school early to be in the NFL draft to start getting paid because he had had a kid. He needed some money. He can just, if that happens today, they just stay in school. The schools are paying them. So he says that the draft is not as deep as it traditionally is. Now, that'll catch up to itself over a few years because those kids do have to leave eventually. You can't just stay in college forever. But for this year, he says it's a very soft draft late. Plays well for the Commanders. They got 5 picks in the top 100. So there's going to be a ton of excitement coming out of the Senior Bowl, coming into the Combine. What will they do? How will they reload their roster? And we'll certainly look forward to that. I say they have to leave. Did you see the Miami kid? Miami tight end Cam McCormick is returning to Miami, the U, for his 9th season of college football next year. Lots of people go to school for 9 years. They're called doctors. He's a football player. He has been to multiple colleges, has suffered multiple injuries, and he had a leg injury that kept him out for 3 years, and the NCAA granted him an additional 3 years of eligibility. Plus, he redshirted for a year, which gets him to 8 if you're keeping score. He is eligible to take a COVID year, and he is going to take his COVID year and return to the University of Miami for his 9th season of college football. He entered college at Oregon. Hazel's here. Entered college the same year as Justin Herbert, who isn't just in the NFL, but like has fully been in the NFL for a long time. He was in Nick Bosa's class. And Nick's like on his second contract now. Cam's already got a bachelor's and a master's degree. He's in postgraduate studies now at the U. I would love to see what postgraduate studies look like at the U as he uses his COVID year. But you see the NIL money getting thrown around all over the place. The big story, Ohio State spent $13 million this offseason to keep players there and it's funny to me in college football, traditionally, it's a fundraising arm for the university. You fundraise off of wins, right? Like, we won the championship, hooray, give money to the school, let's keep it rolling, build a new facility, build a new building. Ohio State lost to Michigan this year, and they sent out the call the next day, we lost to Michigan, give us money, this can never happen again. And they raised, apparently, according to this report, $13 million. For the NIL fund to pay players to come back and ensure that they never lose to Michigan again. I guess Michigan's going to have to raise $13 million as well. I don't know. $13 million only lasts until somebody else raises $13 million. Then you gotta raise more. I would love to see how this is impacting the broader economy. All this money now being funneled into NIL, paying college football players. What are we doing here? Where is this money coming from? Are there businesses going out of business? I'm sorry, honey. I can't get you jewelry for Valentine's Day this year. We lost to Michigan. We gotta beat Michigan next year. We beat Michigan, you can have a diamond necklace. No, all extra money is going into the fund till we beat Michigan. Then we'll consider. Then we'll think about it. We're off and running. It's a Tuesday morning. We'll play a segment chat with my friend Craig Hoffman from up in D.C. That's at the bottom of the hour. We have thoughts on the Richmond gun hole. If you've been anywhere in the last 24 hours. It's all the rage. It's all the kids are talking about. We'll touch on that. And Ben Standig joins us at 11. It's a game day. VCU takes on St. Bonaventure tonight, 7 o'clock on The Fan. But when we come back, a monster day. And the Washington Commanders coaching search will tell you where owner Josh Harris is, what he's up to, and what to expect. That on the other side of this. Off and running, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Back at it, 10:17 on a Tuesday morning. Thank you for joining us. Michael Phillips here, MP, on the mic on a big day. We covered why it's a big day. VCU against the Bonnies up there in Olean, New York tonight, 7 o'clock on The Fan. A big day for the Washington Commanders as well. Meeting with the guy who might be the guy. The ownership group, Josh Harris, his search committee, Bob Myers, Rick Spielman, the whole crew headed up there. Presumably, I don't know this, Adam Peters. I'm assuming Adam Peters will be part of the meeting and he'll get to the Senior Bowl when he gets to the Senior Bowl. That would be my guess. But I do not know that for sure. I would think he'll want to be a part of this. Final coaching interviews today for the next head coach of the Washington Commanders. They are reportedly going to talk to Dan Quinn, but more importantly, they're going to be in Detroit. They will interview defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn and offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson has been the favorite ever from the get-go to become the next coach of the Washington Commanders. He is basically everything they've said they wanted in a coach. He's 37 years old. He's young. He comes from the offensive side of the ball. He's a Detroit Lions play caller, has gotten the most you could possibly get out of Jared Goff these last few years, has built an offense, strong offensive line, great run game, innovative concepts. I mean, the way they blitzed the 49ers for two quick touchdowns on Sunday, a strong closing argument. Also, a leader, a culture guy. You know, of course, about Dan Campbell up there in Detroit. We play his clips all the time. But Ben Johnson, equally renowned as being a guy players love to play for. He checks all the boxes, seems to meet all the criteria. The question is, are they going to offer him the job tonight to become the next head coach of the Washington Commanders? And if they do, we're two-thirds of the way there. You've got your GM, Adam Peters. You would have your coach at that point. And be on to the draft to find your quarterback as the rebuild continues here. Now, it was a little bit of a panicky day yesterday in the Washington Commanders media universe because Adam Schefter, the consummate NFL insider, was on the Pat McAfee show, and he dropped this little mini-bomb of information.
Commander's job. I know people have said that he's the presumptive favorite, and he may get the job. Like Well, first and foremost, I'm not convinced yet that Ben Johnson's getting the Commander's job. I know people have said that he's the presumptive favorite, and he may get the job. Like he very well may. He's in contention, but that is not a slam dunk at all right now. Mm-hmm. And they are definitely looking at other people as well. And again, they may come back to Ben Johnson, but I think that they're pretty impressed with Mike McDonald and Aaron Glenn and Anthony Weaver as well. And I think those guys are going to have a legitimate chance to get that job. And then Ben Johnson's also in play in Seattle. So you have to see, okay, well, if he doesn't get Washington, is he then in Seattle? Or does Seattle pull an upset? Again, people have said here that they think Ben Johnson's going to Washington and Dan Quinn is going to Seattle.
Yes.
And I will bet you that at a minimum, one of those is not right. Huh. At a minimum.
Ooh, juicy. Everybody assumes he's the favorite, but don't count on that. Now, I will say this. Where the information comes from is very important here, right? And there is no information coming from Josh Harris and his group. They haven't talked about this. They've run a very tight-lipped process. People around the league, you talk to anybody in the NFL, they'll tell you this is the guy. Ben Johnson's the guy. These other teams that wanted to coach have gone ahead and hired coaches. They believe he's going to Washington. It would be a full stunner if he didn't go to Washington. Now, the Seahawks are still in the running. Maybe they come in and throw a big pile of money at him at the buzzer. It feels unlikely to me. It seems far more likely to me that Adam Schefter is just trying to pump up interest in the search, the comprehensiveness of the search, right? Because they're still talking to people. They did interviews yesterday, talked to Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator yesterday. Nobody wants to go through an interview where the process is already decided. That's a bad look for everybody, right? Well, we talked to you and we loved hearing from you. Just know we already made up our mind before this interview started. So thank you for dropping by. I've been a part of a few of those in my life. That does happen. But it's a bad look at the NFL level. It's a bad look for a new ownership group coming into the league. Their vested interest here is in letting you know we are running a comprehensive search. All options will be considered. We're open to great presentations. By all accounts, Ben Johnson is going to blow them away in the interview. Everybody says, you talk to this guy for 10 seconds, you love him and you want to play for him. UNC guy, went to UNC, has a bunch of crazy smart degrees, like math and engineering. I don't know if that helps him in the NFL. I don't know if that does anything for him as an offensive coordinator, but apparently just very sharp guy. I would be stunned if he's not the coach. Now, I think Seattle's the one Adam's referring to, and people say they assume it's Dan Quinn because of the ties. I think Mike McDonald is a red-hot candidate right now, and I think he makes a ton of sense in Seattle. All that place is going against Kyle Shanahan offenses. You do it against the Rams. You do it against the Niners. A guy who can shut that down, that's a valuable asset for them, especially if Pete Carroll can hang around there and help mentor him. But, I'm not sold that this is truly being revisited. The other thing yesterday that I found equally ridiculous was, well, did you see how the Lions choked away the NFC title game? Do you really want Ben Johnson? Yes. Yes, of course you do. Of course you still want Ben Johnson. Look, that was not a masterclass in time management, in point management in the second half against the Niners. I want the guy who was up 24-7 over the best roster in football at halftime of the NFC Championship game. Yeah, I want that guy. Well, the only one I hold against him, by the way, people, why didn't he kick the field goals? You know, it matters so much. The kicker was not good, and it was outdoors, and it was a cold night. His career percentage on those kicks was about 50%. So even if you just take the 3 points, there weren't 3 points on the board. There were 1.5 points on the board. The 50% field goal is very different than a makeable 100% field goal. The only one I will hold against him, and Dan Campbell took the blame for this yesterday, but the only one I would hold against him is the third down run. That was late in the game, and Greg Olsen called it from the booth. You had 3 timeouts. You had to hang on to all 3 so you could get the ball back after you scored. It was a too smart by half play there where you run the ball on third down, the clock runs, you have to waste a timeout, you end up not being able to try. I don't think it mattered in the end, but it was a bad call. It was shades of Pete Carroll outsmarting the Patriots on the goal line, throwing the pass instead of letting Marshawn Lynch run it in, right? The opposite of that. Pete Carroll had a timeout. These guys did not have a timeout to use. Dan Campbell took the blame, and I just want to say to you and to everybody out in Radio Land, I don't care. I just don't care. He's got a whole season of resume. He's got a whole season of doing things the Detroit Lions have never done before. With Jared Goff, by the way, this isn't one of these guys you're like, well, if he doesn't have a star team, how's he going to be? He has Jared Goff. You can find a Jared Goff. Jared Goffs are available. This isn't like Eric Bieniemy. How will Eric Bieniemy do without Patrick Mahomes? Not so great, it turns out. Turns out you need Patrick Mahomes helps you look good as a coach. Well, if you hire Eric Bieniemy, can we get a Patrick Mahomes? Those guys don't grow on trees. Now, I got into dangerous territory the other day speaking out about Jared Goff. So I'll say this. I like him. I'm just saying you can find a Jared Goff. Now, I don't think Sam Howell is as good as Jared Goff. I don't think they have one on the roster. But you're picking number 2. You can get one. Kirk Cousins is a free agent. He's a Jared Goff. There's Jared Goffs out there available. That's not a ridiculous thing to think you could get him. And if you get one of those guys and you pair him with a coach who knows what he's doing, I like the hire, and I'm not going to be dissuaded by one bad call at the end of a game he had never coached in his entire life. That's my thought. Now, one more clip from the Schefter thing here. And this is, look, I'm not here to badmouth Adam Schefter, whose cell phone is probably the most impressive list of people in America. And he reports the information, and that's his job. But here he is at the end talking about Bill Belichick. This is Bill Belichick's future from Adam Schefter.
I think that he's sitting back and waiting, and he's going to see how this all evolves still. And by the way, like, again, there still are two openings, and neither one has contacted him yet. But what I would also say is, let's see how these couple of days go. Oh. And let's see if somehow, in a long shot, unlikely way, he enters the picture in one of them. Like, I don't think it's likely, but it's not, until the jobs are filled, he's still out there.
That's the grain of salt. If you listen to that, that's the grain of salt. Bill Belichick, a guy who has not been approached by either of these teams, could still be hired because they could hire anybody. They could hire you. They could hire me. They've reached out an equivalent number of times to both me and Bill Belichick. We're on equal footing in this job. The door's not closed until the door is closed. That's the grain of salt. That's what you need to hear when he says, hey, they're not done with Ben Johnson. They're not done. They might still hire Bill Belichick, a guy they've talked to zero times throughout the entire process. I'm standing by Ben Johnson. I would love Mike McDonald too. What he's done this year has been incredibly impressive. I just think Johnson's a year readier for it. He'll come in with the staff, with the crew, be ready to go. We'll continue the conversation with our guy Craig Hoffman from the Team 980 in DC. Lots more coming. It's a fun month. It's a Tuesday. It's not Monday anymore. It's Tuesday. We've turned the calendar. It's a great Tuesday show. Hope you'll stick with us. MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Ten 10:45 on a Tuesday morning, rolling up to the top of the hour. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. Grant and Danny drive you home, and then don't go anywhere. VCU hoops against the Bonnies tonight at 7 o'clock. If there's anybody I trust to keep his finger on the pulse of this town, it's JC, of course. Hazel joining us as well today. Fun day in the studio. JC,
hey.
The town is literally a buzz right now. What's the scoop?
It's the Richmond Gun Hole, Michael.
Do you have your tickets to the Gun Hole?
Bought my tickets to the Gun Hole show. I inherently get in for free to the Gun Hole show.
The Richmond Gun Hole is tell us what the Gun Hole is.
So it is a divot in the sidewalk on the corner of Addison and Main. In the Fan District of Richmond, it is shaped like a gun, a very large gun.
So, like, when they pour the concrete, you know, sometimes a kid will, like, write his initials in there, you know, or something. And in Chicago, there's a very famously, like, a rat died in the concrete while it was being poured.
Rest in peace.
Now in Chicago, there's a sidewalk with a rat hole in it.
Yeah.
And this made national news. But we now have one better.
Yeah, move over Chicago rat hole, make way for Richmond gun hole. And that's the buzz. It's all over Twitter. It's all over Facebook, Instagram right now. Odyssey's own Liz Harris shared a hilarious
What are people
post.
Saying about the gun hole?
They're romanticizing it. What if we kissed at the Richmond gun hole, they say. I don't know. I think that's true love.
I feel a little bad for whoever lives behind the sidewalk there.
Yeah.
They now has a tourist destination in front of their house.
Yeah, 100%. It can't be making their, you know, morning commute very easy or just getting in and out of the house. How many questions do you think people have for them, you know, like every day?
I want a historic marker there. So do we know, was it a real gun at one point?
So sources are saying that it was a water gun. Was not a
okay. That makes me feel
not an actual.
That makes me feel bad. I could take my kids to see the gun hole then.
Well, because it would have been a gigantic revolver if it was real. I was always thinking to myself, like, that's got to be a 357 or something.
So people are
it's
just
a water gun.
People are traveling to the Fan to see the hole in the concrete, that divot in the concrete that looks like a gun
that was made by a water gun. Yeah.
What a town! What
not
a town!
Not only to see, but to honor it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm. Oh, how can you not love this place? You had a news story about the gun.
Oh, we've got a full blown shrine.
NBC 12 was live there this morning.
12 on your side.
Well, they are on my side. They're telling me what I need to know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's become a veritable internet sensation as well as it's been a local legend. So, I mean, you know that I'm a Richmonder born and raised. I've been aware of the gun hole since forever.
You
I just
knew about
it. I just thought it was there.
And
I
you,
it came
you didn't
with
tell
Richmond.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You kept this from us.
You kept this from us?
It's
You've
just
known
one
about
of those
it.
Things. Hey, it, what's his...
How long's it been there?
So we're discerning that the person that lives at the residence says that they've been there for 20 years and that it was there before they moved in. So, long time.
Well, I've never lived in a Richmond without the gun hole, and I've never known about it until now. I feel let down by all my friends.
It's been there the whole time.
So a rat dies in wet concrete in Chicago, and now somebody can't get to their house on the fan because it's a local monument.
I don't know what it is.
You read the story for us here.
So we've got...
You could do that. We're good. That's fair use.
I was going to ask.
You're good. Yeah, you know, I'm not setting you up for anything here. We can read the story on the air. That's fair use. We're good.
So
we can review the story
from 12 on your side.
Yeah,
you may have heard of
that's
the,
Riley Wyant.
Riley Wyant.
Yeah, she knows her stuff. She's probably the foremost gun hole authority in the area. So yeah, what she got here?
Gotta be, and it's new developments on the hour. You may have heard of the viral rat hole that's become a massive sensation in Chicago. Now Richmonders have discovered something just as bizarre on a sidewalk in the fan. The iconic Richmond gun hole began gaining tons of attention on social media over the weekend.
I love it.
Local Scott Boastfield says, "You're not a Richmondite," and I had to correct him. Richmonder.
Richmonder is the correct term for a person from Richmond.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Get at me at the last of my wits on X. Confirm that. It is Richmonder, Richmondite.
No, it's Richmonder, yeah.
Sorry, Scott.
Yeah.
I had to come after you.
That's all right.
Unless you've seen the gun
he's
hole,
clout chasing
you are
at the gun
not
hole.
A Richmonder.
We all see it. We all see it.
Oh, and he's looking for boasting rights. Yeah, you see what I did there?
Uh-huh.
It's simply an indentation on the sidewalk shaped like a gun. Quote, "It's just something about being in Richmond," passerby Casey Yinyo said. Quote, "Only Richmonders would get it."
Oh, we are talking to people. We're getting the scoop. All right.
We got passerby. We got, just skip a little further down in here, because, what if we kissed
You're not skipping my guy Goat Gatsby, are you?
Oh, no, of course not. That's okay. What I'm getting to. So, Goat.
You can't skip Goat.
It's not a Richmond story unless Goat weighs in. Mm-hmm.
The infamous
how is he everywhere?
Goat Gatsby.
How is he everywhere? He's everywhere. It's General Assembly season. He's at all the committee meetings. He's at the gun hole. He's everywhere. How does he do it?
I saw his photo at
this
the end
like,
of the article,
this
and
like
I was
in
like,
Harry
I've
Potter.
Seen this guy
this
at
is like in Harry
bars.
Potter when Hermione took all the classes at once. there's some magic here.
He's
involved.
Got a time turner.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Goat Gatsby says they don't have to get it, but once they see this right here, they'll start to get a little clue that Richmond, we're a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And Gatsby's got that right. We're a little bit weird.
Tourism to that block of Addison has skyrocketed.
And it's become a shrine. So there have been offerings made. This is what Hazel is getting at.
What,
right,
are, what are people mm-hmm. putting there?
We are putting things such as condoms, batteries.
You say shrine, and then you just describe like things people throw in the trash.
Things, yeah. A candy bar.
Objects.
I saw a candy bar. We've got the Jesus candles, of course.
Okay.
As if it's actually like a gun died there.
rest in gun, peace, gun. Victim of gun violence. Gun on gun violence.
Gun on gun violence. You took it out of my. Yeah.
The underrated cause of gun death. Yes.
Gatsby also says it would probably be the first time they've ever timely filled a hole in the city of Richmond, responding to the city filling it up.
Are they thinking about filling it up?
This is where we need to get upset.
Well, they should sell tickets to it. We could get the pothole problem fixed immediately if they just sold tickets to it.
That's what I'm saying.
Are maybe there naysayers?
Are there
gun hole naysayers? We got to hear from both sides.
Absolutely.
We are nothing if not fair and balanced.
We have residents from the from that 2-3 block radius saying that it's made getting in and out of home very difficult because it has become a very popular pedestrian stop, as one can imagine. You see a gun-shaped hole in the ground, you got to flock around it and throw your favorite things on top of it and into it. There was also spare change offered to the gun holes. So.
Is it impolite to just pick up the spare change as you're walking by?
Because
if I see a quarter on the sidewalk, I'm picking. Like, what's the smallest amount of money you'd pick up on the sidewalk? Because for me, it's a nickel.
I was gonna say
I'm not stopping for a penny, but nickel and above,
silver change.
I'm picking it up.
Heck yeah,
yeah.
I'm with you on that, actually.
But if it's an offering, I may end up cursed if I do that. So I gotta look out.
You don't want to get cursed by the gun hole.
Especially not in Richmond.
For sure.
No.
A little bit weird.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be exiled from Richmond.
But yeah, you're walking along, heading up to Sticky Rice. You look down, and magic happens. It's a gun-shaped hole in the sidewalk. I've never. This is the best thing. That's all it takes for a viral internet sensation is enough people to say this is great and enough people to agree with them. I've known about it forever, so I'm just as surprised as anyone else who's known about it forever. Like, why is it just now getting viral?
You should have got some copyrights on it. You made some t-shirts or something. I've seen the Richmond gun hole.
Maybe you should drop a business card.
Absolutely.
It's at the shrine.
Right, yeah. Drop a business card, win a free lunch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Whatever it is.
Now someone's going to take
that idea,
Michael.
There's going to be a hot dog cart there by 11 o'clock. Richmond's new must-see attraction. So, I wondered when the monuments went down what people would see when they came to Richmond. So I'm glad we have our answer.
What are we going to replace it with?
We've directed the people now to something that's truly Richmond.
And so you're lobbying for a historic plaque, like a landmark plaque, right?
It's been up there for a whole day and a half now. I think it's been there long enough.
It's about time.
We'll probably do the show live from there soon. love a good remote. We'll do a remote. But now when we get back from Vegas, obviously,
right?
We'll do our remote from the gun hole.
We got a budget here.
It's tough. It's tough to be everywhere you want to be. Absolutely. Hazel, gun hole thoughts. Have you been to the gun hole?
I have not been to the gun hole, and I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I'm missing something inside.
We all do. We all feel that empty hole in our hearts that can only be filled with a cement-shaped water gun imprint. No question. No question.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Hold another hour radio on deck. Ben Standig from The Athletic joins us to talk all things Commanders on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hour number two, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Game day, 7 o'clock tonight, VCU at the Bonnies. We're looking forward to that one, a little revenge game for VCU after getting worked in the first one. Part of that low point of the season, the loss to them and G-Dub. Pre-game coverage starts 6:15. You know where to be right here, 910 The Fan. We dial up the lines now, and we head down to Mobile, Alabama, where our guy Ben Standig is at the Senior Bowl this week for The Athletic and his podcast, The Standig Room Only. Ben, what is up?
Mr. Phillips, pleasure to chat with you down here in lovely Mobile, where it is not 30-something degrees, so pretty happy with that so far.
I have done one Senior Bowl in my entire life. I enjoyed it well enough. They run it very well. It's a lovely place. I will be honest, I don't remember the players, I don't remember the interviews, I don't remember the practices. What I remember is that the Senior Bowl is sponsored by Reese's, and in the workroom, they have a football helmet that is filled with Reese's miniatures that is kept full at all times of the day, and I gained 10 pounds that week at the Senior Bowl.
I remember the first time when I was a kid and I went to Hershey Park in Pennsylvania, and everywhere you went in town, there were some Hershey candies. That is what it is like here when you're in the main part of the convention center or the meeting area. Nothing but Reese's everywhere of various varieties. And yes, it can be very dangerous, especially in the late hours.
I love it. Ben Standig joining us. We'll get into the coaching search, obviously. But the reason you're there, aside from the other prospects, number two overall draft pick, the heat's about to be on here. Who's there? What are they going to do this week, and what are you expecting to see?
Yeah, for the number two pick, this is not the place to be. That'll be the combine. None of those players are in this range. None of the quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. But you do have here Oregon quarterback Bo Nix and Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. So while they're not in play at two, I wouldn't believe they could be in play for the first round. And, should Washington decide, hey, we want to get a big haul of picks and assets, and trade down, then maybe these guys become something they would take a look at. But yeah, there's also a lot of, you know, offensive linemen here. I think you may have heard Washington needs to upgrade their big man up front.
Well, where were you last March, Ben?
Yeah. So there's that. You know, obviously, look, I mean, this is a team that has holes everywhere other than like wide receiver. And even there, I could make an argument for a certain type of receiver. You know, they kind of need almost everything. So this is a good opportunity. And again, for Washington, part of the excitement for this year is it's not just that they have number two pick, which is fun. They have six picks in the top 102 and nine picks overall. So this is really, you know, if they're going to make strides for this year, this is the draft to get it done. So, you know, the draft starts in Mobile, as they say.
I love that. I've been saying five picks in the top 100, but you won up to me there. Six in the top 102. That gets me even more excited. That throws another pick in, which is just two extra spots.
Yeah. No, yeah. The top 100 is basically the first three rounds. Somebody threw that out at me a few weeks ago, so yeah, I've started this to run with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's not even so much the pick itself in terms of like what player will they take. It's the assets, and if you do this right, you know, you can keep spinning this thing forward and always having extra a surplus of picks every year if you know how to read the board. You know, you can trade down, get more stuff, or obviously at some point you got to take players. And you know, I think in the top half of the draft, meaning rounds like 1 to 4, I think this is considered to be pretty good. After that, it sounds like it gets a little dicey. A lot of guys stayed in school because of NIL, things like that. But this is a good year to have a lot of picks in the top 102.
Good year at the top. I want to get this out there now. Is there any chance they consider a non-quarterback at number two, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt, the offensive lineman?
I mean, you know, I can't. I would assume no. Now, of course, like, you know, one of the interesting things that, you know, you and I and others have to deal with now is whatever assumptions we've had in the past, we cannot make anymore about what this organization will look to do because it's all new. I mean, as we're standing here, there's no head coach, but now Adam Peters is in charge of the front office and even just ownership. I mean, hopefully Josh Harris isn't involved in deciding which left guard they want to draft, but just in terms of philosophy, you know, what's the urgency? How quickly does this thing need to get turned around? Or are you cool with sort of building? All that is new and different. So I guess to the point of Harrison, he might be the best player in the whole draft, other than Caleb Williams, or maybe even higher than him, depending on your bent. I just can't comprehend, from a roster building perspective, you just don't take a receiver, especially when you have Terry McLaurin and John Hontas and investments there. So I would say no, but again, I'm not going to assume anything for now while we're learning the new staff.
Ben Standig on the road in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl, covering it for The Athletic, his podcast, The Standig Room Only. But obviously, we're all abuzz about the potential for a coach hiring today, in the near future, this week. What do you know about what's going down today? And do you think we'll be talking to a new coach by the end of the week?
By the end of the week, well, I think that they will announce something by the end of the week when they make him available to us. We'll see about that. Look, the Ben Johnson buzz has been there for some time. Here's my theory, Michael. My theory is that nobody knows anything, and because of that, the only buzz that has been out there has been Ben Johnson coming here. So people have just been going with that. Now, maybe it is a fait accompli. You know, as much as you try to report, like, you know, I don't have a direct line to Josh Harris or to Ben Johnson or things like that. So it's hard to know. But I've been saying for a while, I don't think this is just like 100% slam dunk. It's a perfunctory exercise and we're all just wasting time. And I think we've seen that over the last few days. You know, Seattle could have hired Dan Quinn a week ago, but they didn't. I think that ship has sailed, if I had to guess. And they've waited, so what are they waiting for? Seemingly, it's either Ben Johnson or Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator, but they hadn't even talked to McDonald yet prior to this week. They are supposedly meeting with McDonald today. Washington met with him yesterday. Washington is going to Detroit today to meet with Ben Johnson and the Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. Seahawks met with Johnson yesterday, supposedly. I think Seattle's in this to win it for Ben Johnson. That doesn't mean they're going to. They may have no chance. But like I said, I don't think this is just like it's already been agreed upon and we're just all killing time. So hopefully this gets resolved in the next 24 hours and we hear an announcement. But at the same time, I'm not assuming anything, even if the Ben Johnson noise is, you know, been pretty steadily, you know, loud this whole time.
No, you make a great point. And Ben Standig joins us and also dropping French phrases. Ever since you've started working for the New York Times, I mean, just your erudite, you know, UMBC education really shining through there. I appreciate that. If the Seahawks wanted Dan Quinn, they could have had Dan Quinn by now. I think there's two things that I think are true. I think Ben Johnson is going to be the head coach somewhere because nobody, these other teams wouldn't have made the move if they thought they could still get him. And I think Mike McDonald is probably the favorite to be the other coach hired. It's wild to me, 36 years old, but all this guy does is shred Kyle Shanahan offenses, and that's a pretty nice trait to have. The thing that I love about Ben Johnson is the thought of maybe you take him to Seattle and pair him with Pete Carroll, right? Pete Carroll helps him fill out a staff, uses those contacts. I know there was buzz that he wanted to get back in, but I think at this point that ship sailed. A Carroll McDonald tandem in Seattle rebuilding a defense to go against the Niners and the Rams, I think that's pretty juicy in Seattle.
It makes a ton of sense if you believe that, you know, because Ben Johnson this year, Mike McDonald this year, when the Ravens played Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and several other top offenses, you know, they played great. They blew them out. They held them in check. I mean, even this week, obviously the Ravens lost, but if you hold a Patrick Mahomes team scoreless in the second half, like that's not nothing. They're just, you know, obviously the offense for the Baltimore just could not get the job done. The only thing that's weird to me about the Seattle thing is, like, okay, when they fired Pete Carroll, they only, or, you know, reassigned him, whatever, they only had like 2 days left in the window to get that virtual interview in before that cycle closed, and then you were going to have to wait a while. So they didn't get to McDonald. I don't know if that was a mistake, just in their organization or what have you, but like something is weird. But like to set your sights on a guy that you haven't even talked to, and if Baltimore had won, they'd be waiting another 2 weeks to get moving. It kind of makes me wonder if it's Ben Johnson or one of the other names on their list. They've interviewed Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, which sure seems weird. Like, why would you go that route? But I think Seattle is definitely a team that is not fall prey to herd mentality. They also have Evero, the defensive coordinator from the Panthers, who's gotten a lot of attention. So, you know, maybe it's not McDonald, but, you know, likely it would seem that, you know, both Johnson and McDonald are the two hot guys. If you're waiting this long, seemingly you would be like, okay, let's go talk to these guys.
I like Ejiro Evero from Carolina a lot, and they've blocked him from interviewing for other defensive coordinator jobs. I'm curious if something's at play there. I think he'll be a very good head coach someday as well. And I love to see the defensive guys getting their turn, getting some interviews, because it has been so much of a steady drumbeat of you got to hire an offensive guy. I think there's some real defensive talent out there. Ben Standig joining us from The Athletic. Before we let you get back to watching Senior Bowl practice, the Eagles have hired their two coordinators, and I'm curious what you think, because I'm bullish on this, but I know some people are saying this is a miss. Kellen Moore is their offensive coordinator, Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. Are brighter days ahead for the Eagles, or is this a team that's kind of seeing their moment come and go?
It's a good question. I mean, clearly they misfired big time on their coordinators this past year after losing two to head coaching jobs. You know, look, Fangio is, you know, one of the most respected defensive coaches in the last however many years. And, you know, Kellen Moore, you know, got that Dallas offense going before he went to the Chargers after Mike McCarthy decided to call plays in Dallas. On the surface, it sounds pretty good. I guess my wonder is, does it, you know, you and I have heard the term complimentary football 1,000 times over the last few years here with the Ron Rivera teams. There is something to that, and I do wonder from a coaching staff perspective, did they just hire two mercenaries to come on board, or did they hire two guys who collectively with Sirianni and everybody else in that staff is going to understand what they need to do, or are they just sort of siloed into their own world and Sirianni sort of to a degree dead man walking, like if they don't win games? I'm not sure what to make of it, but yeah, on the surface, those guys are, you know, seem pretty good hires to me. But we'll see. I mean, Philly, that was such a weird ending to that season. Is it just the coordinators, or what else was going on in that building they're going to have to figure that out, obviously.
No doubt. And Ben standing with the Athletics. So he just announced on Twitter, Andrew Marchand, who's one of the best sports media guys, he's joining your team at the Athletic. That's a good get for you guys. Nice pickup there.
Look, as you know, sports media conversations are my jam.
I do.
So, like, I'm excited when I see Andrew Marchand pop up in my Slack, and I'll be just messaging him all the time about who knows what, assuming he allows me to do that and doesn't block me on internal Slack. I'm a big fan of Marchand. I read his stuff when I can, and in that world, he breaks as much news as anybody. So, yeah, I'm excited that I don't have to go to another paywall to read him, but I can just go to ours, and another reason is just to sign up for the Athletic.
I love it. Thank you for taking some time to join us. Enjoy Mobile. I trust the weather is great and the seafood is lovely down there. We'll look for your work. TheAthletic.com, of course, and the Standing Room Only podcast. Ben Standing from The Athletic, thank you for making a few minutes for us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. There he goes. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
It's a Tuesday. MP on the mic. I'm MP Michael Phillips here live from Richmond, Virginia, as we are Monday through Friday, 10 to noon. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. Grant and Danny drive you home. This stat just called to my attention. St. Bonaventure against VCU tonight. Bonnies are 4.5-point favorites. They've played 15 times as Atlantic 10 members. This is the most the Bonnies have ever been favored by. I get it coming off of the first result where the Bonnies, you know, handled them inside with Chad Venning. I think this is a different VCU team. I think this, as an A-10 game, I think this one will come down to the buzzer as they so often do. All right, shout out to the Washington Wizards. Big night last night. Is it a streak? Is it a streak? It's two in a row. I think it's a streak.
Jones, a three. Off the rim, no. Rebound battle. Kuzma had it. Gafford scoops it up. Slam! Slam! Daniel Gafford, the slam. The Wizards up 118-113. And that's rebounding. Daniel Gafford with the rebound, and that may do it.
They don't even know what to do. They're so excited. Two in a row for the Washington Wizards. Two in a row. Somebody break up the Wiz. Just what they need. Coaching change. Two in a row. Don't ask who the two were against. All right. It was against the Pistons and the Spurs, the other two teams with single-digit wins this year in the NBA. Still, two in a row for our friends up in D.C., the Washington Wizards. And Ovi scored a goal this week. You love to see it. Lots of wins. Wins all over the place. See if VCU can continue that tonight right here on The Fan against the Bonnies. JC is a voracious consumer of news and has brought us the top headlines from around the world. What'd you find here, JC?
I've been all over the internet this morning, MP. I can't be stopped. It's an addiction, you might say, but it is part of my job now, so I get to, you know, I get to cop out on that.
I was mentioning that being at the Reese's Senior Bowl and eating Reese's all day. It's like, well, I'm here at the Reese's Senior Bowl, so it's for work, really. You know, I'll have another one.
Not the worst gig in the world.
Not the worst gig in the world. The best part of Super Bowl week, and they're doing it Monday night this year, so I'll recap it on the Tuesday show when we're in Vegas.
Yes.
They open up the stadium for one night for all the reporters to come in, and they show off the food that they're going to have at the Super Bowl. So
Okay. There's
two elements to this. It's always the most eco-friendly Super Bowl ever. So, like, they don't do plastic bottles at the Super Bowl. You know, everything's recyclable. Mm-hmm. Last year, everything was compostable in L.A.
Right.
Whatever the next thing is they're going to do. And then there's always some, like, crazy, wacky, like, it's a $23 hot dog filled with lobster tails, you know? There's always one of those, and they always, like, serve it so everybody gets to try it. So that's always one of the great nights at the Super Bowl as well, the food showcase.
And you know I'd be all about that.
Exactly.
Of course.
That'd be your show. So what do you got?
So we're all familiar with Jessica Biel.
Heard of her.
She's sharing a time-saving hack is what she's calling it. I call it outing herself a little bit on being a little gross. I'm sorry. She eats in the shower, and it's a very regular thing. Over the weekend, she shared a TikTok of her eating an orange in the shower, which I don't know if I would say that there's any food that's like better to eat in the shower. It's all kind of unhygienic.
Oh, I was thinking that's the most hygienic place to eat. That's the cleanest place in the house is the shower. Food's not getting dirty in there, right? You know? That's what I'm saying. You got crumbs, it just washes right down the drain. I could see where she's at here. An orange can get wet without losing its flavor. I don't know. This seems awfully convenient to me. I think I'm on board. If it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me.
Shower water on your orange. She says it's nice because it's accessible. You've got shelves in there. So you can put your coffee or your yogurt cup on the shelf in the shower, you know, in between cleaning parts, I guess. And then you just take a bite of yogurt.
Parts.
Take a spoonful of yogurt while you're washing your different sections. Because to me...
Sections. We've gone parts and sections so far.
And then you get out of the shower. First of all, she makes way too much money to care about the cost of water. I feel you there, Jessica Biel. Take your shower. Take your long shower. But why are you eating in it? Does she really need to save that much time?
Yeah, absolutely. She's incredibly busy. combining two great... reminds me of the Seinfeld, where Costanza combines eating sandwiches and having sex with his girlfriend.
Oh, man.
Remember, he can't be in bed without sneaking a bite of a sandwich.
And she catches him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect comparison.
It's now one act, the long shower with the... You lost me at coffee, though, because that would get watered down.
Now...
You had me at orange. I was like, this is genius. Now at coffee, you're losing me again.
I have, you know, in my career as a line cook, I've had many a shower beer after work. 100%.
So you're in the club.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe I am. I'm sitting here judging. Yeah, the second story that I found, which was fantastic, was from our friends at First We Feast. Big fans of First We Feast. What M&M flavor is your flavor? Choose your fighter.
Oh, well, that's an easy one. Peanut butter. Peanut butter's the best M&M flavor. With
peanut butter, not peanut.
No, peanut's second.
Peanut
butter is first. I think that's... Now, Hazel's actually been to M&M World. Is that right? Did you go to M&M World in Vegas?
I went to the store, yeah.
Yeah.
Four floors.
What'd you get? M&Ms?
So many M&Ms. So many M&Ms. It's incredible.
Wait, what flavor?
Well, they had lots, but they had like a dark chocolate pretzel. I feel like I've never seen that before.
Mm, okay.
So that was pretty good.
Do I need to add that to my Vegas list, the M&M store?
How into M&Ms are you? Because they're really into M&Ms.
I would say I'm regular into M&Ms. As in, like, if you offered me one, I would say thank you and eat it.
You can personalize M&Ms. You can, like, get your face painted on an M&M, and they'll give you a bag of, like, Michael Phillips M&Ms. I'm serious.
We're going to take branding for this show to the next level.
I wouldn't hate that. MP on the M&Ms.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to add that to the... I'm glad you went. You scout out Vegas for me. I appreciate it. It's
no
it's Bud Light Big Game Week next week. We'll be live in Vegas all week. Hazel was scouting out Vegas. I appreciate that. Here's my Vegas decision. All right. AY, I don't know if I've mentioned this to him or not. GP and I, Grant Paulson, afternoon show, we both want to go see U2 at the Sphere. $280. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
He shot a thumbs up and then at the price.
Sure.
Went,
that it would be the most I've ever paid to attend a live event, beating my Taylor Swift ticket by $30.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. But it's U2, it's the Sphere, and then Hazel's like, well, you gotta see the Sphere. I'm like, well, dang, now I gotta see the Sphere. I don't know. I'm torn.
You gotta see the Sphere.
So it's $280. That's one win at the roulette table of 140.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's called risk mitigation right there.
That's
either half price.
Planning.
It's either a half price show or a miserable night in my room listening to U2 on Spotify and crying about what could have been.
Looking at the Sphere window,
yeah. Looking at the Sphere through the window. Yeah. GP gave a tentative in, though. Look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to let myself be talked into it. That's 100% what's going to happen here. I'm not oblivious to that fact. It sounds fun. It's a thing to do. And then my guy, Brian McNally, he works up at Monumental TV. He's like, oh, I saw them in this. Like, you got to go. He was in the pit, like, with Bono. But he says those are the cheap seats. because you can't see the screen. And the whole point, like, if you see Bono, you don't see the screen.
Right.
It's like that people don't want those tickets. I'm like, well, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Bono.
I was wondering how large the thing actually is. Do we know?
Massive. It's like 18,000 seats.
So large.
So big. Oh, yeah. Even by Vegas standards, it's
oh, yeah.
It's towering over everything.
It is large.
I saw you two on their when they came to Charlottesville forever ago at Scott Stadium. They're playing with Muse. That was an excellent show.
Ooh,
but
love Muse.
But the Sphere seems to be the thing.
There was a lot of people with U2 UV shirts on.
Yeah,
you know, and everyone seemed really excited.
Okay,
it's either that or Carrot Top. Those are the two. We'll see. I don't know. We got to see how much Carrot Top is. Oh yeah, AWOD doesn't know. We've got Carrot Top on the hook for a Monday appearance on the show. It's not done. But my people are talking to Carrot Top's people. We're in negotiations. I'm not promising. I'm just saying it is promising. We'll see.
I pulled the figure for you, MP. The Sphere is 366 feet high and 516 feet wide at its broadest point. That thing's huge.
I'm so bad at numbers. Like
you're just like, that's large.
Yeah, I'm just nodding. You could tell me any amount of number. I'm like that with money too. The federal deficit is $8.2 trillion. Okay, then it's more than I have. Seems like a lot, I guess. I don't know. We got two more segments wrapping this thing up, sending it off to AWOD Radio. Grant and Danny drive you home. You know what it is. It's 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM.